time for your KDNK local newscast for this Friday morning, October 28th. I'm Gavin Dahl. The Roaring Fork High School football team has their biggest game in a decade tonight at 7 p.m. here in Carbondale. KDNK got a hold of head coach Jeff Kelly to learn more. Talk about the significance of this game. Why is this one of the biggest Rams football games of the last 10 years?
Well, we haven't won a league title since 2005. If we win the game, we'll have three teams most likely 4-1, unless Aspen upsets Moffitt, and that's co-league champs. And, you know, 4-1 is 4-1. We did what we needed to do to be co-league champs, and we get to hang a banner in our gym.
So league championship on the line against the Basalt Longhorns. This is not an easy team to beat.
No, they've been dominating pretty much all year. Their only two losses are against Delta, dropped down from 3A, and Rifle, who played 3A. So we have our work cut out for us.
So talk about your quarterback.
Hayden Bernat is a senior. He's led our team all year, except for the two games he couldn't play because he had a separated shoulder. He can run. He can throw. He's 215 pounds. He's second year as starting a quarterback, and he's going to be huge in this week's game.
And, of course, part of a family in Carbondale that a lot of people know and love. Who else has had some of the biggest impact this season?
Aldo Pinello, our running back. He was player of the month. And then we had a transfer from Florida named Eli Garcia. Returned to kickoff last week against Coleridge. Jake Kelly has replaced Hayden for a while at quarterback, plays all the positions on the team from receiver, tight end, free safety, strong safety, does it all. So those are the four kids that have been really helping a lot this year.
The blue and gold is all around town. What's it like feeling the energy from the support here in Carbondale?
It's been incredible. There's signs on Main Street talking about the game. One of the, I think the police chief put a sign on the street, Highway 133, and it's been great. The kids and Facebook has been huge. I see people on Facebook talking about the game. We look forward to a big turnout and hopefully a victory.
And can you accommodate the entire town? How much seating do you have at the field?
No, there's plenty of seats. We haven't had a huge turnout this year, but Basalt will bring their 500 or plus fans for sure. I hope we can have 500 fans. So I'm assuming there'll be 1,000 people there.
Wow. Coach Jeff Kelly, good luck. Go Rams, and we'll see you tonight at 7.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
For this week's news brief, KDNK called up Denver Post reporter Noelle Phillips to talk about ballot selfies. It's a misdemeanor offense in Colorado to post a photo of your filled-out ballot on social media, but the ACLU says it should be constitutionally protected free speech. Noelle Phillips, Denver Post staff reporter. Thanks for speaking to KDNK.
Hi, you're welcome.
So for the past 2 weeks, you've been reporting on some controversy about ballot selfies. As a journalist, when did this story first hit your radar?
On October 20th, the Denver District Attorney's Office just issued a mass press release with the headline, "Reminder, ballot selfies are illegal in Colorado."
The DA's office is warning people not to accidentally or intentionally commit voter fraud, because obviously election integrity is crucial. But then the American Civil Liberties Union responded, saying people with a legitimate need for help filling out their ballot could be intimidated by this warning. Is that right?
That's correct.
It seems like being coerced or paid to do this would be a serious problem, but maybe violating one's own privacy rights is more of a victimless crime. It can be tough to prove consent in these matters, but it's a misdemeanor offense, not something that's been enforced in Colorado that we know of, right?
I don't know of any cases where somebody's been prosecuted for posting a ballot selfie on Facebook or Instagram.
But you looked into the history of the law, and it's more than 100 years old. What happened back in the day to cause Colorado to enact this?
It had to do with trading liquor for votes, essentially.
In your article, you talked about Ray and Yuma County.
There was a vote on where the county seat should be located, and the Yuma newspaper's written about this in recent times, where a barkeep who wanted the county seat in Ray was offering pig's feet and whiskey in exchange for votes on that issue, and it passed, and Ray is the county seat.
Wow. And so the law is still on the books to this day. Other states have laws that allow people to post pictures of filled out ballots on social media, but the Colorado General Assembly didn't get any new legislation done on this, though they did try the past year or two. So ballot selfies do remain illegal here. What are some of the arguments that ACLU is pointing to around the country?
The ACLU's pointed to laws in other states that say that it's okay, and then specifically to lawsuits in Indiana and New Hampshire where voters argued that it was a First Amendment right to free speech to post a ballot selfie online. And courts have ruled in those voters' favors in those states.
And so at first it seemed like maybe this story would blow over, you know, oh, well, district attorney writes a press release. People aren't happy about it. It's not that big of news, right? You wrote in one of your stories, well, the drama of the 2016 campaigns continues. But now there are some lawsuits filed here this week. Can you talk about those?
Yes. A Republican state senator from Colorado Springs, Owen Hill, joined a freshman at the University of Denver who's voting in his first election to sue Republicans, who are the state attorney general and secretary of state, saying that this was a violation of their First Amendment rights. And then the Libertarians jumped into the fray, and the state party spokeswoman joined two Denver voters filing a similar lawsuit, all asking a federal judge to declare Colorado's law unconstitutional and to bar anybody from the state or the Denver DA's office from prosecuting ballot selfies.
So we'll have to wait and see what happens with those. Is there any likelihood that these lawsuits would be addressed before Election Day?
It's possible if somebody filed a motion asking for an immediate, you know, order on it or some kind of temporary injunction. And I'm not sure if that's happened yet or what the plans are.
Is there anything else that you think we should make sure we cover?
I'm curious if people are still posting ballot selfies or not, if they're aware or they're just like, I don't care. In fact, a fun little tidbit, I had not received my ballot late last week, and I tweeted at the Arapahoe County Clerk's office that I don't have a ballot, and they actually responded to me, and in their response encouraged me to tweet a ballot selfie. So I did. Granted, it's still in the envelope, so I'm not showing anybody how I voted, but I did tweet a ballot selfie.
Wow. Well, do you think you might do another story about if, in fact, ballot selfies are showing up on social media?
Possibly. You know, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I am curious. You know, in Tennessee, Justin Timberlake tweeted a ballot selfie and then later found out that's illegal in Tennessee, too. So I think people are still doing this, expressing their enthusiasm over voting.
Yeah. Noelle Phillips, thank you so much for your reporting in the Denver Post, and thanks for speaking to Community Radio KDNK. We'll link to all three of your articles about this on our website at kdnk.org.
Well, thank you.
Leland Rucker, senior editor of Sensi Magazine, spoke to KGNU Radio yesterday about a new report published by the Marijuana Policy Group based in Denver that legal cannabis activities generated over $2.3 billion in output in Colorado last year.
They're using a different model for integrating the legal marijuana industry into the overall economy. You know, usually all we talk about is how much money there is and how much tax money there is this month and how much higher it is than last month. And using this model that they have here, they find that legal marijuana activities generated $2.39 billion in state output in the year 2015, that's last year. And they come to this conclusion because, A, the industry is wholly confined to Colorado. It doesn't go outside at all. It's wholly confined here. And B, we're always looking at profits rather than how much businesses spend. And the industry is spending a lot here in Colorado. Marijuana creates more output and employment per dollar spent than 90% of all Colorado industries at this point in time. That's going to change, but I've never really thought about that. It really gave me a different view on this because marijuana businesses spend money on warehouse space, real estate, construction, office space, employees, rent, security, data entry, lawyers, accountants, lobbyists. In 2015, the marijuana industry created 18,000 new full-time equivalent positions. Now, that's not too bad. That's 12,591 directly involved with marijuana businesses. The remaining 5,400 are by other companies that marijuana businesses are using. So that creates an awful lot of money within the state, and it really looks at it a little bit differently than we usually do, which is just how much money everybody's making. And this kind of gives us a little bit better idea. In 2015, $996 million, almost $1 billion in legal sales. Marijuana was the second largest excise revenue source. Wow. $121 million in combined sales and excise tax revenues. That's three times larger than alcohol. Of course, it's being taxed at a much higher rate than alcohol. And 14% larger than casino revenues. That's a surprise. The MPG projects that marijuana tax revenues will eclipse cigarette revenues by 2020 as cigarette sales continue to decline. But they also say that in 2020, that's when it will level off. The marijuana industry is growing at a great rate, about 11% per year, and they expect that to continue for a while, but they don't expect it to continue forever because not everybody's going to wind up smoking marijuana, obviously.
That was Leland Rucker from Sensi Magazine talking about a brand new report out this week that found legal cannabis in Colorado generated well over $2 billion in 2015. Thanks to KGNU, our allies in the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Network, for sharing that audio.